This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. By hell or high water and seven flights, I'm back. It's been quite the week. My apologies for sounding like utter trash at this point, because it transpires that staying in Las Vegas for 18 hours and not having a hotel book takes quite the toll on the body. Who'd have thought it? In the meantime, while I was away, while I was having my holidays away, we had quite the win, back to winning ways at Hillsborough against Wycombe Wanderers. I managed to catch it at some ungodly hour in some part of the country that I'm probably never going to go to again, some part of the world I'm probably never going to again. And to make sense of it tonight, I've got Stevie, John and Simon. Chaps, how's it been? It's cold now, isn't it?
It's turned, yeah, for sure. You can feel a nip in there.
Came back, landed. I had a linen shirt on.
Can't afford to put the heating on, so leaving it off at the moment.
How many of you, you've all got kids, right? I mean, how many of you are doing the entire dad thing of being in charge of the thermostat? Like is it a constant fight in your houses?
Or do you sound like you're turning into your own father with it when you realise why you used to turn the lights off when you were a kid and stuff?
Well, I tell you what, I've been doing this thing where because I live on my own, I've got the hot water just turned off constantly. So when I want to wash my hands, I'll do it in the shower because it's on its own thing. And when I want to wash the pots, I turn the water on for half an hour, then turn it back off. I've been away for a week. And I've left it on a timer, so I've just been heating this same water in my boiler for the last week. Oh, it makes me shudder to think what's going to drop on the drop into the mailbox next week. So Wycombe, Simon, a team that normally set out to frustrate when we've played them before. Early goal from was it Smith got the first one? Obviously, put pay to that nonsense, right?
He's given us an own goal, wasn't it? To start off with, when I saw the team, I was a little bit sort of driving in. I was sort of, so obviously Byers was injured, McGuinness is injured, so we had a few players come in, and really sort of Volks's first start for the team. So I think me and Ash had been away to Wycombe last season, where we should have won that. So it was trepidation, to be honest, walking into the stadium. But you know what? I thought it was a really good performance. We played some really good football, really good football. And Ben Hennigan, who has been up and down, started off well in the season, injured, come back not so great midweek last week in the Pizza Trophy, was superb. Absolutely superb. I thought it was a great game of football. I really enjoyed it. And Volks as well, I thought, he is improving as time goes on. We didn't miss Byers that much, but we fell into a few. First half was superb. Second half fell into a few issues. Then they obviously, towards the end, was charged a light brigade, threw every big fella up. But I think the difference this season is that last season we were probably drawn that game. But this season we battled, the spirit was there. And then obviously the icing on the cake was the goal in literally the last seconds of the game.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Volks, actually, because I thought the game he played was really very good. And he obviously settled into his role, and he wasn't shy of having a couple of shots either. I thought he had a pretty decent game, to be fair.
Yeah, I thought he's the games I've seen him so far, which have been limited sort of to Caribou Cup and Pizza Cup. He's not exactly filled himself with glory, but then again, neither the rest of the 11. My mate who I go with, AD, he said he needs a goal now. Get a goal. Yeah. It's just confidence, I think. I mean, it's all about confidence. And they're a big set of shoes, aren't they, to fill? When you're filling buyer's shoes, they're a big set of shoes.
Absolutely.
You
know,
you've got Bannon at the side of you, who personally, I think he's got over that sticky spell at the start, and now he's playing some of the best football I've seen him play in years.
Absolutely. I, you know what? I've actually made a note of that. I thought Bannon was beyond outstanding against the team that are a potential banana skin. Now, John, the equaliser that came, as daft as it sounds, I might be overcritical, but I feel like it was coming. I feel like it was on the horizon. It was going to happen. I think Stockdale pulled out a decent save, a long range shot when we were 1-0 up, and then I felt like they were going to come back into it, and they did, didn't they? But did we panic?
No, I think it was. There's a saying in football that you can score too early, and scoring as quick as we did gives them a lot of time to get back into the game. And as you mentioned, they had an earlier chance, which Stockdale got down well to save to his left. Mm. And I thought that, to be fair, I've watched it again, that goal, and it's just bloody good play, to be honest. It's a really good play by their player. I know Hennigan's not the most gracious of defenders, but so, you know, he skinned him, and then I think Bannon even came back to try and help out, and he got skinned and all, and then he just you know, squares it across to Volks, and he can't really miss, to be fair. So I give credit to a good goal there rather than...
I wrote sweaty FIFA goal.
Absolutely.
The draw back with the two players waiting.
Was, 100%, mate. Yeah, it's one of those goals where you're taught to do, isn't it? Take it to the byline. It's like the old 90s World Cup song, isn't it? You must get to the line and all that, you know.
Absolutely.
Puts it back for Volks, and it's 1-1. But heads didn't drop, as we've already mentioned. Dusted ourselves down and went again. And an absolutely tremendous second goal, an ultimate team goal, counter-attack goal that we've been crying out for a long time. Lovely player from start to finish. I think Windass kind of were involved in the start of the goal, and he's up at the top end for the assist for Bannon. So an absolutely tremendous response from Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Stevie, there was a lot I noticed, and I had to go back and look at it again because I was significantly inebriated. I was heavily refreshed when I was watching it. Now, there was a lot, if I remember rightly, there was a lot coming down from Johnson down the left-hand side. We played it down the left quite a lot, and I thought Johnson did really well with that role. Him and James, I thought had a great partnership down that left. What did you think?
Yeah, I'd agree. I thought it was a welcome return to form for Marv. I thought, you know, he's been much maligned. He's probably been the scapegoat of the, you know, of the more out brigade that seems to be getting a firm foothold on Twitter for whatever reason that we may discuss later. But I thought Johnson, he was back to doing what he did really, really well last season and got him in the conversation for being our player of the year. I'm not saying that he was, but he was up in there, wasn't he? And, he got the plaudits, and rightly so. I have this thing about James that people seem to have this misconception that he can't play centre-half because he's too small. And I don't get that. You know, one of the best centre-halves we've ever had or we've ever seen playing on a global scale, Cannavaro, was only about 5'7", 5'8", I think. You know, you don't have to be a 6'2" shit kicker to be a centre-half. And I think what James does really well, he covers the ground, and there were outlets at times. And it's nice to see that we've got two left-sided players playing on the left-hand side. And I'm not saying that it doesn't work when McGuinness plays out there, But having James in there, it just feels like there's a balance to the back three, and it allows Marv to go and do those little bits. And the cross that he put in for the first goal was outstanding, and he did it again and again and again. And watching the game on Saturday, I sort of thought some of the play, getting the ball out, getting the ball down, having James behind him allowed him to go and have a bit of a license to go and play maybe 5-10 yards further up the field. And that sort of complemented the change in the middle of the park that we made in allowing Windass to effectively play a 10 and having Volks and Bannon playing in that sort of slightly deeper role. It just worked. I thought the game, I know the other lads have said that, it was a good performance. I thought we were excellent on Saturday. I thought, goal aside, a momentary lapse in concentration, out of possession when we didn't have the ball, I thought we were brilliant in terms of that defensive play. And I thought we were excellent going forward.
I thought we were. I thought it was a constant battering. When we came out in the second half, Blair's just joined us, by the way. You're right, Blair. Blair, when we came out the second half...
straight in, Blair, by the way. You don't know what we're talking.
Yeah. Straight in, pal. When we came out the second half, it was clear that Wickham came out with a game plan. And I thought that I would edge them the first 10, 15 minutes in the second half. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, it was one of those... If you're the away team and you're technically the underdog, it's always that keep the team out for 15 minutes, isn't it? Like try and ride out 15 minutes you had conceding before. Yeah, I mean, because if you concede in that first 15 minutes, we've lost basically. You conceding. I thought what I noticed on against Wickham was our squad's that big and that good, but every time we praise a player on this podcast or in a pub or whatever, the following week or 2 weeks later, what you've said means nothing anymore. Like, we were on about the start of the season, how good Deli Bashir is. Doesn't even start. And then you've got now, and then you've got Birkinson, who I were raving about, who I think Stevie likes, and a lot of people on Twitter were liking. He's got to start every game. And then Will Volks puts in that performance on Saturday, and now he's got to start on Saturday. on Saturday. So it's just like we're just getting mugged off by his own team now, I think.
It's a nice position to be in, though, I must admit. Yeah. Like, we're a long way from having 11 players out for, a starting 11 out for the entire season. And and you're right. I think the depth actually, I think we said it right at the start of the season. I said, I think our depth is going to be what carries us over the line when it comes to those.
John said this, didn't he, a few podcasts ago about that five subs. Is the fact that strength in depth is going to give us a huge bonus as the season goes on. So when we go through our sticky patches that we've had in the past of sort of November, December time, and then February time, we've got a depth now to that squad. If we can keep them all, after the January transfer window they're just sheer class. It's that's going to get us promoted. It's that class that we no longer have got, which we spoke about a lot about last year, of sticking square pegs in round holes. We've now actually got square pegs going square holes. So you look at the buyers, who I absolutely love buyers. I've got the sort of same man love as probably Steve has got for Liam on buyers. I think he's a great player, superb player. And I do think his heart is at Wednesday as well. Superb player.
Nothing will ever touch my love for Liam Palmer.
Got an exclusive for you guys after the win against Wickham. Liam Palmer is now going to get watched a lot more significantly to get into the Scotland squad again. They're going to
He deserves to. He is our player of the season this season is Liam, and absolutely superb all season, and if he carries it on, he is going to walk player of the season. Walk it.
Go on, Steve.
Just a quick point on that, and I know it's a slight digression in terms of what we've just talked about there in terms of Palmer and Scotland. I've no dog in the fight necessarily, but how we're talking about Liam Palmer playing for Scotland is great. How Barry Bannon is not getting a conversation or getting in a conversation for being
I tell you what it is. I've known my mate John, whose dad's the gaffer, for about 6-7 years now. And when I first met him, there was about 5 or 6 Sheffield Wednesday players that could get into the Scotland squad. And a lot of them were bit part players. And you had Bannon, Wallace, Rhodes, Palmer.
Fletcher,
you know what I mean? They were all in there. And as I've known John over the years, they've systematically all got kicked out. You know what I mean? And so
they've
now I'm
better
getting asked,
ever since.
Yeah, yeah. So now I'm getting asked about Liam Palmer, and I said, like, look, the marathon and the fitness stuff that he did over the summer has really started to pay off for him. I think the concern is League One, his level and the stuff like that. In terms of centre midfield and Barry Bannon, Stevie, the people you've got to kick out of that position aren't shit. You know what I mean? That, there is no way that Barry Bannon
John McGinn
is gonna kick out John McGinn out of that squad or McSauce either, McTominay. So you know what I mean? I think there's an argument for him to be in there, but the intake of Rangers players specifically that they've had over the last 2 years has actually caused Clark a bit of an headache. Just a bit of exclusive fire there, but keep it to yourself. Don't say out.
We're almost coming to an existential conversation there about the levels of standard, if you like, between Scottish Premiership football and Championship League One. Where do Rangers fit in the grand scheme of things? And that's no disrespect to Rangers. And I know there'll be people that are listening to this going, I'm talking out my arse and so forth. You look at some of the players that come out of the Scottish top flight division.
And shit the bed. I mean, as Dafsi says, Rangers.
I'm not for a second suggesting that we should be playing Barry Bannon in front of McGinn and McTominay. But I think in a 23, 24, 25 man squad, there's an argument that potentially, as I said, I've got no dog in the fight. I don't know who the Scotland midfield are, if I'm honest with you. But, you know, I just think in the form that he's in, he goes under the radar a lot. And if we're talking about Palmer as a fullback, I couldn't tell you who plays right back or if that's the formation or the position that he would go into. I'd just be curious to see, and maybe that's something that I need to go and educate myself on, who is keeping Barry Bannon out of the squad? Who is Liam Palmer potentially competing?
Well, this is it. The two positions that they're really quite adverse in are, you know, fullback. They've got Tierney. They've got Robbo from Liverpool. They've got Ramsey. Mm. You know what I mean? If we had Fletcher 10 years ago, then yeah, I'd be sat here going, get him in instead of Lyndon Dykes. You know what I mean? But,
I know we used to have that little argument with Pigs, didn't we, about who were better, Bannon or Fleck, and which one we're going to get in the Scotland squad. You know, when we're both in the Championship.
Turns out neither. They've got McGinn and McSauce. You know what I mean? They're kind of all right.
I'm happy they don't, because at the end of the day, it keeps them fit for us, doesn't it?
Exactly that. There's an element of that where it also sends a bit of a fuck you. Like, you know what I mean, to go. Because bear in mind, the last player to play for Scotland that wasn't Palmer was David Bates. And he played once for us. And I got really drunk on vodka iron brew and told him about himself. But that's another story. You know what I mean? That's one for another day. So now he's got himself into the conversation, which is genuinely nice. And you know, getting some of the text messages I am about LP2. Steve, you'd absolutely adore it, mate. You know what I mean?
And on that match on Saturday, the guy, was it the 21 who sort of danced through defence and then passed it for them to score? He. Other than that one time, Palmer had him in his back pocket. It was like Lee Sharp in the back of Nielsen's pocket in 91. And the guy didn't see the ball after that, which was brilliant. And between him and Ihekwe, they did a job on him because he was their major outlet on that wing. He was a tricky player.
I thought Ihekwe was actually really very good on Saturday. I don't think he put any real foot wrong at all. Now, John, in terms of attitude as well, and you know, we've literally just said earlier on that there's an element of last year we'd have drawn that game. The shift in attitude after Wickham came out in that second half and absolutely not put us to the sword a little bit, but they went for us. The change in attitude that we've not had, I've not seen that in that team, in our squad for a lot of years, to go, nah, bollocks, we're having you. And then we managed to grab control back. That was impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it harps back to some of the frailties of what we termed as game management from last season, didn't it? Where, you know, we'd be in games and then all of a sudden we'd concede and we'd fold like a deck chair, wouldn't we? And, you know, particularly in injury time, which used to, you know, get everyone, you know, even more upset because of the nature of the time on the clock and stuff. But, yeah, I think we're showing some resiliency, aren't we, this season? To adversity and to teams getting back in games. Not only like us getting back into games like but where we're drawing, but coming from behind as well, and coming from behind from away from home is another hurdle that we seem to be clearing these days. Although, you know,
I just wish you'd stop conceding goals. To be fair, that'd be dead nice. It'd help me settle a bit better.
Do you know what they remind me of? You remember when I think it was Jim Smith when he was managing Derby County, and they just played free football, and if you scored, they'd just score back, and they'd just keep and they'd win games 4-3, 4-2, and stuff. They just had a very positive mindset. It wasn't brilliant defensively, but you know, against the weaker teams, they'd probably win. But when they come up against somebody a bit tougher, then they'd usually concede, but they'd outscore teams. And they remind me a little bit of that, to be honest. I think there's still room for improvement for defence. I think they still had a free header in that game that they put over the bar. But you know, we've still got a lot of centre halves out. McGuinness and Fenway's out, isn't it? So there's much more to come from our defence. So they're coping adamantly right now. So I think you know, once we get a few more back, I think we'll sharpen up even more, and we'll see a few more clean sheets as well going forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, there was a point where, obviously, after the game, there was still the Moor Out Brigade, and Blair, I just want to pick at something for a second here. The lineup. Now, back in February, we went on one of the best runs I've seen this club go on since we went to the playoff final, and it took you know, one of my biggest criticisms of Darren Moore at the start of last season is that it took him a good 4 or 5 months to work out what his best formation was. And we were still chopping, changing, tinkering 4-3-5-1 and 7-2-8-7. And you know what I mean? And third Sunday after Pentecost. But we seem to have settled on this 5-4-1-2 that seems to have been relatively successful. I like what we're doing with 4-3-4-1-2. 5-4. No, I said 3-4-1-2, didn't I?
You said 5-4-1-2.
Listen,
whatever the formation is, it's working.
More out for Captain Winner.
I've travelled 6,000 miles in a day. I'm all right. So, listen to me. I'm not functioning. So, I like what we're doing with Windass, actually, because we've put him in an attacking midfield role, and yep. I feel like I really, really like that. Is there an element of, we've got a lot of people at the back. You'd argue that we're playing five at the back and we're still conceding goals. Is that something that needs to be addressed, or do you feel like because of the way it's going forward and the results we're getting, that it's not really a huge concern?
No, it's not a huge concern because of that. I think Joe Kvan put, he's been around Twitter the past couple of days, but we're the highest goal scorers in the country in 2022 with 48 goals. And I know, like, people might say, yeah, but we're only playing Forest Green Rovers in Cambridge. But, you know, Rooney scored 5 goals against San Marino, and he's the all-time leading goal scorer for England. Is he a shit player for scoring? You know, for whoever's in front of him, he's scoring against. So, you know what I mean? We can only beat who's in front of us. I don't think it is a concern. It's entertaining football for once at Hillsborough for a long time since, well, Carlos's first year, arguably. Yeah. It's annoying because it's the only seasons, past two seasons, the ones where fans are allowed back in. I'm not a season ticket holder for a while, for the first time in a while, because I'm a new parent, and I'm missing all these goals. So bit... yeah.
Every time you look at that new child now, you're like, you goddamn rat bastard.
Yeah. They've been in the Premier League.
Kidding yourself just after I've changed it. And that's the reason I can't come and watch Josh Windass cross one over for Smith to nod.
I like it. I like
massive
the
meek on Napa.
Yeah, yeah. But first pod of the season, I wanted Gregory and Smith to play together, and now that seems to be like the partnership, and it seems to be battering defences left, right, and centre.
I tell you what, Gregory does do a lot of work.
Yeah, he's a great workhorse.
Really,
yeah, he does it.
Really grafts. If out is, he's working too hard.
Yeah, for a 6 foot, you know what I mean, 6 foot three lad, he moves like a, do you know what I mean, a proper grafter, and he'll feel top, like a small lot. He does more grafting than, you know, Hooper did and stuff like that. You know?
let's not get into hyperbole.
One thing we haven't talked about is Michael Smith.
Oh, I love him. From he's massive, isn't he? He's great.
He is looking like, when he joined us, I only saw him against us when he played against us and he beat us 2-0 when Rotherham beat us 2-0. So I've never really seen him in play at all. And he, everybody typecasts him as this big lump up front. And yes, he is a big lad, but he can play football.
Yeah.
He can play football. He's good at passing the ball. He's good at crossing the ball. He
don't lose it, does he?
He's great. He's a great signing, and I think that front three. Gregory needs a goal, but his work rate is superb. But we've been saying that now since he signed for his last season.
Yeah,
he's a superb player. And then having Windass behind him, which we didn't have last season. It's just that icing on the cake. So in regards to the scoring more goals than somebody else, I'd rather us do that. And we're also, a difference this season is we're getting goals from all over the pitch as well. Bannon's chipping in. Everybody's getting goals, which again, we didn't have last season. We were relying all the time on
I think Windass has been the missing component from last season, if I'm honest. I really think he's a really gifted footballer, especially at this level. He's playing a lot lower than what he's capable of. Mm. And when we were on about get rid of him, get £1 million, get bloody rid of him, he's injured again. Like, I remember thinking, well, hang on a minute, he's one of our biggest threats. And I think he's quite a creative player. You know what I mean? Now, Stevie, go on, I'll leave you for your soapbox on this one. Now, there was still, even after smashing Wickham, and then obviously we did terribly in the Pizza Cup and whatnot, the more out movement is still rumbling on. Are you bored of it yet?
Yeah. You popcorn emoji.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm running out of things to say on it, to be honest. And do you know what? The sad thing is, just on a serious tip, the sad thing is, I find myself on a Saturday afternoon, if I go with my mate and he's driving, I'll sit in the car, I'll go with my sister, I sit in the car and I open my phone up at 5 o'clock and I'm scared to tweet. I'm scared to offer my opinion, because if I offer my opinion, I know that I'm just going to get ripped. And it don't matter what I put. I could be positive, I could be negative. In some areas, it can be a little bit of a piss take. It can. But some of the stuff that came out this weekend, I'm not going to sort of give it any sort of airtime tonight, but on my Twitter feed, I just got bored of reading it. And, you know, it got to a point where I was just like, no disrespect, because Twitter's there and you want to interact with people and you want to have these conversations, but I am so polarized to what other people seem to be saying about Darren Moore. I don't understand it. You know, we've talked about the points per game that we've got. If we continue, and we're not going to continue because it's not a linear thing, but if we continue getting the points that we've got for the first 10 games throughout the season, we'd equal what Wigan got last year and we'd go up. So that's the form we're in. And we've got mitigating circumstances around redeveloping a squad or the sending off at Peterborough, which cost us a game. We were better at Ipswich, and you can't legislate for Dominic Ayoub for the poor sod who's cost us 3 goals in 2 games. You know, these things happen. You know, it's going to happen, and it all balances out over the course of a season. But it then becomes so much vitriol on social media towards Darren Moore at the minute, and I just don't get it. His record speaks for itself. There's people still saying that he was the reason that we got relegated. If you want to delve deep enough and have those conversations with people, there'd be people talking about him being the reason deducted, and he wasn't even at the frigging club. You know, it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. People just going, it's shit. But they can't give us a reason why. Oh, it's only Forest Green Rovers. We beat them 5-0. Anyone can beat Forest Green Rovers 5-0. Can they? Are they?
So are we supposed to go, hey, listen, Forest Green Rovers, appreciate the offer of a fixture, but we're going to take on Ipswich again this week because shit. Like, you know what I mean? What are we supposed to do?
I think Steve's problem is that before Twitter, the older ones amongst us, we used to go for a drink before a game or go for after a game, or you go to work on the Monday and there'd be 20 odd of you at work and there'd be always that one who, fucking Ron Atkinson is rubbish, John Sheridan's shit, David Hurst, he missed that one with his left foot, blah, 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 blah. And everybody turned and went, yeah, you're a knob, and walked off.
It was usually Ash, to be fair. It was usually Ash. Who used
to do trouble that. Is now that everybody can have a mobile phone and everybody can open a Twitter account. And I think they all gravitate towards Steve now. For some reason, Steve's put his head above the pit, and everybody's gone there. Steve's the one to have an argument with, and they're all going there.
I'm not causing. I'm not.
I know you're not, mate. But I think
I'll offer one opinion, I offered an opinion on Saturday at about 6 o'clock. It was still going Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. I saw some of the comments. And there was one guy who still reverted back to the season we went down, which was a result of poor financing, which resulted
and Tony fucking Pulis. Let's not forget that.
Point deduction and a set of players who couldn't be fucking arse. And you look at them now and none of them are achieving anything. So, you know, these people, from what I see in the people, I sat at the Pizza Cup the other week, three lads sat behind me who I can only understand probably sit on the cop normally, right? And they were looking around the stadium. I don't think they'd ever sat on the south stand before. And they were looking at the cop going, oh, ah, sit there. And I sit there. What's that thing in corner? It's where the crow's nest. And in there, they've got the DJ box. Oh, I don't know what that is. And I think it's been there since fucking forever, right? Oh, and then, oh, wouldn't he? I hope he gets better because Palmer's shit, isn't he? Oh, he's shit. And you're just thinking, these are the people who, Monday morning, you avoided at work because everything they spout forth is complete bollocks. The trouble is now, they're on Twitter and they shout the loudest. And the rest of us who like Moore and actually think he's doing a good job don't tweet on Twitter because we just go, he's doing a good job. But them who don't and have got a something to push, which they have, you know, you'll still be tweeting that. Him about we got relegated. He'll still be tweeting that for 5 years.
I mean, bear in mind as well, I find that Liam Palmer is a great example of that, actually. He has shit the bed a couple of seasons. He has been piss poor a couple of seasons, but there's other seasons he's been absolutely amazing. And to coin Stevie's phrase, it's not a linear thing. Form comes and goes. It's what happens. But there'll be still some arsehole who is the literal carbon copy of that bloke from Luck North this week who wants to put a dome over Bradford. You know what I mean? Who sat there going, well, he missed this pass against Port Vale in 2011. You know what I mean?
They are the world is flat protagonists. That's what they are. The world is flat. And, you know, it just this whole thing, Hitler's still alive and living in Brazil and Liam Palmer's shit. That's who these sort of people are. And unfortunately, Steve seems to be, they all gravitated.
And Steve's the flag bearer of all these players that made a mistake 10 years ago.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I don't know what people want. We're a League One football team that has not seen Premiership football.
Let me tell you where it is. We played Premier League football in not a long time ago in some people's minds. I mean, I grew up Sheffield Wednesday being a Premier League football team a lot of the time. And it did take me best part of 10 years to come to terms with the fact that we aren't a Premier League football team and we're not going to be. Now, when we look at teams last year like Rotherham and Wigan, absolutely tearing it away, and then now we've got Ipswich and having a great season. Why aren't we them? We're the ones, and I tell you what it boils down to. It comes down to one thing. We as fans turn up week in, week out. We are everybody's cup final. We're selling the tickets inside out. We're turning up at home. There's 23,000 people for a home game in League One. And we're doing our bit. Why, for the love of God, can't we have one of them seasons where we just absolutely romp it away? Because we haven't had one. I can't remember the last time we had one. The one where we finished first. It's been a foregone conclusion since March. You know, like some of these teams go up when they do that. Like, for example, Peterborough getting out of League One seem to do it every year. Like, you know, all right, not so much in recent years, but there's always that one team that tears away and it's never been us. And we've done our bit. We've turned up. We do our bit. We speak, you know, I've been speaking about this fucking football team now on this format for 13 years. Like, we've done our bit. When do we get our romp it home season? We just don't get one. So what we tend to do is gravitate towards a negative and go, well, it's clearly Darren Moore's fault. You know what I mean? He's the man in charge right now. And Liam Palmer misplaced a pass 7 years ago. So he's shit and all. And we're still persisting with him. You know what I mean? But like we used to look at players like, what was his name? Sean McAllister and Mark Beavers and Tommy Spur. And these were all crowd favourites. They weren't that fucking good, were they, though? You know what I mean? Like, I'd even look.
Oh, I like Sean McAllister.
Everybody likes Sean McAllister. And I think he said for someone like Mansfield or Rochdale or something. And that was his level. That was Sean McAllister. But for some reason, we make a big song and dance about these local grown heroes and all the rest of it because our neighbours over the other side of the city, they tend to have a rich a rich history in terms of players that they brought through the club, like your Walker, Maguire. I could go on, couldn't I? And we don't have them, so we attach ourselves to them. But then what we don't realise is they're nowhere near as fucking good as Walker and Maguire.
No, they're not. But we don't have the academy that United have got. We haven't invested over the years because we've been run so badly. And don't forget, some of these lads, I don't know the age of these people who are coming to, it's 22 years ago since we were in the Premiership.
Yeah.
So there'll be some people
it's
who
a generation.
Are, yeah, it's a generation. There'll be people commenting on Steve's Twitter feed who were still breastfeeding. You know, they were still at the mum's tit when
Wednesday like still
in the Premiership, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right there, Simon. I think there's an element of these people that are doomsayers, the ones that want the Brad over. Have you seen that? The dome over Bradford. Have you seen that clip from Luck North? So they're bringing the clean air. What is it? They're bringing the clean air initiative into Bradford. And there's a guy who's genuinely sat on Luck North going, well, I'll tell you what. What about when wind blows and all clean air goes? So what are they going to do about that? I think what they should do is put a dome over Bradford.
It's you like know, Springfield in the Simpsons movie.
Yeah, exactly like that. They're going to do that. But with Bradford, and if I remember rightly, the reasoning behind putting that over Springfield in the movie was not a positive one. You know what I mean? that's what we're fighting against. I know, innit? Can you imagine?
Can you imagine if they put a dome over Bradford and it got opened by Mel Gibson and Tina Turner? That'd just be epic.
I was desperately trying to think of a Bradford celebrity there, and I couldn't think of one. They'll probably just send up a Mel B down the road.
Alex Miller,
yeah. He'll be done.
Stuart McCall.
Yeah. Stuart McCall. They like him down there. Him and Josh's dad, actually.
He danced on a car.
Yeah, he danced on a car this one. <time. laughs> Right, so in terms of that, that's a good segue, actually, lads. So what I did in terms of playing a bit of a game, let's have a breakup. Let's get everybody screaming at their radios coming in. Now, generationally, we're of a similar... We all remember the good years, probably with the exception of yourself, Blair. So I'm expecting you to clean up on this one, pal.
Right.
So I wanted to do, we've named a few of them now, but similar to the sponsorship game that you played, I want to see how many of the 2010-2011 squad can you remember? Yeah? So if you...
Oh,
if
my
you,
God.
If you can't think of one...
Last week, squad.
If you can't think of one... obviously, you're out, and then it's last man standing.
Who was manager? 2010, 2011.
Megson.
The year we went up.
Hang on, let me check.
Are you including short-term loans in this?
Yeah. Anybody who put the shirt on that season, it was the one where we had the heart back to the black and yellow pinstripe kit. We were sponsored by Sheffield Children's Hospital, and we had that awful bloody kit.
Oh, this is Alan Irvine season, wasn't it? When we got relegated the first time?
No, Megson was in charge most of it.
Oh, right, okay. So is this second is this season two?
Yeah, Megson's first season before we went up, yeah?
I think you said it Megson for most of the season, so that tells me
the
promotion
season. That's
season.
The season we went up when Dave Jones...
Actually, yes, it was. It was that season, yeah, because I think Megson got binned out just after the Sheffield United game, which
so
was
it's the Dave Jones, February. The Dave... It's, I'll just say Megson a name. Can I go Jones. First? Can I go
hang first? On. No, I've got. I'm going to go on the order I've got you on my screen. So,
okay.
I'm going to go with. I don't think it is the promotion season, actually. I don't think, because that was 2012, wasn't it? It's the season before. So,
okay.
Simon.
Gary Madine.
Gary Madine. He is there, yes. John.
Let me think. I don't think you were there. Trying to think. Lewis Buxton.
Lewis Buxton was there. Blair.
Clinton Morrison.
Clinton O'Morrison, Irish forward. Yes, he was there. Stevie. See, but if I asked you to name the 94-95 squad, we'd all be tearing away, you see, wouldn't we?
2010-2011.
Yep.
It's a big fucking gamble.
Go on.
Tommy Miller.
Tommy Miller. I think I've just seen him. Tommy Miller.
I think he got released that summer.
Tommy Miller.
He played in the Legends game that I was in, and I thought he was round about that era. So that's who I've gone with.
No, Tommy Miller is not there, I'm afraid. So that's Stevie out on round one. Simon, we're coming back to you.
Rob Jones.
Oh, God. He signed in mid-season.
We had a lot of players called Jones that year, didn't we? If I remember rightly.
Yeah, well.
We were definitely there season after.
I'm sure Rob Jones.
He signed him towards the end of the season because then it makes him an impermanent in the summer.
So was he on loan then?
Yes, yeah, Rob Jones is there.
Yeah.
Okay, John.
I'm going to have a shout at Gary Teal.
Is he there, Steve? Have you got him? Tommy Miller.
Oh, Tommy Miller. Oh, thanks for that. Thanks for the other one, Steve.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Where are you looking?
Oh, he can't have him back in now. He just looks at Scott.
Oh, he is there, yeah. I'm looking right at him. Yeah, he's there. Oh, all right, Steve. You're back in. Who did you say there, John?
Back in. He's looked at Scott.
He's got about
phone on the table, Steve.
Gary Teal.
He's there. Blair.
Mark Reynolds.
Mark Reynolds is there. Stevie.
That were quick.
Giles Coke.
He's there. Simon.
Chris Lines.
The Coke Lines midfield.
Yeah, that year after.
I don't think he's there. I don't think. Let me double check.
He's seen it.
Yeah, Steve will have it on his list.
Phone's over there, and it's watch.
Ooh. Got loads of people tweeting him.
Yeah. Chris Lines, I can't see. I'm afraid, dear John, dear Simon. My apologies, mate.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right.
All right. So, John, back to you.
Paul Heffernan.
Paul Heffernan is there. Yes. Blair.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is there. Steve?
Nicky Weaver.
Nicky Weaver is there. John again.
Darren Purse.
Now, we're talking a similar amount of time, but I think he might have gone at the end of that last season. I can't see.
Yeah, I think he went after.
I'm afraid not, John.
Hated him.
The Purse Meister General has gone from there. So, that's, so just remaining now is Blair and Steve. Go on then, Steve. Blair, you first.
Chris Sedgwick.
Yes,
the Yorkshire
he's there.
Express.
Stevie.
I know he's gone. And I know he's going to have gone, but I'm going to go for it. Marcus Tugge.
No, he started season.
He did start the season, but he went to Nottingham Forest halfway through that season. So that's correct. Blair, back to you.
Oh, God. Rayder Johnson,
yes. Stevie, come on, man. You're pissing me off now. You've got to round five and you've not named... There's two players I thought you'd absolutely smash out the back door here.
LP2.
LP2 was there in 2010-11.
He's been there all the time.
Yeah. Blair.
Oh, it's getting difficult now. The blurring together, this is the promotion season and that season.
Yeah. It's the Danny, build-up
Danny,
season.
Danny Bart.
Danny Bart was there, yes.
I'm trying to think who played at the back.
A couple of these people we've actually had on the show as well.
I've got another one.
Come on, Steve. There's people going mental at their car radios right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sedgwick Vard. Nicky Weaver was the other goalkeeper.
The other goalkeeper you won't get.
No.
Yeah.
Morrison. I'm struggling.
Come on.
Oh, it's a fan's favourite. I've four, come to me and all. Fan's favourite.
So, Stevie, spit me a name out.
No, I've gone. I'm gone.
He's shit out. Blair, give me your last one. Take the win.
Michael Morrison
was there. You see. Hey. And this illustrates the point, you see, because if I'd have... I could name you the entire squad from 96 to 98. Like, down to Ryan Jones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I imagine that was, 95, 96. But, like, you know what I mean? I had And I feel like it's weird that there's that group of people that remember these things over the years, and you can name what, 8 players from 2010, 2011, which was a League One shithouse season where the reserve goalkeeper was Sean Cough. And the players that I'm surprised you didn't get, Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah. Dion Burton.
Ryan Lowe in the side.
No, Ryan Lowe was
year left. That's year after. The
following season. Cecil Nione, James O'Connor, Richard O'Donnell. Actually, he was the backup keeper, wasn't he? You got bloody Gary Teal over Jermaine Johnson, which I find incredible. And then ones that left that during the season was Isaiah Osborne, if you remember him. I think he was from Villa. Luke Bowden, who'd been there since forever. Snickers were Opal Fruits.
Was it Bennett? Someone Bennett? He was a left back.
Julian Bennett.
JB was prior to that. He was there the one where we had the lovely kit, the nice
and
one.
Then we got that John Ostemabor, didn't we?
John Ostemabor got shot in the bum. Yeah, he's... that's all I remember about John Ostemabor.
What stunning side that was.
I know. Looking back,
I had a round, and it was the FA Cup semi-final, Sheffield United versus Wednesday, starting 11 in the subs.
David.
Oh, this lot, nail that.
David.
No, we'll save that for another day.
We'll save that one.
After we can Google it through the week. Okay, so... yeah. Right, into the last 15 minutes. John, I'll come to you first. Player of the month. Now, did you vote? Did you take a look? Who do you feel it could be, coming up through September? Who are you thinking? Who are you aware?
I can't argue against Liam Palmer, to be fair. He has been in tremendous form, hasn't it? Best I've ever seen him play, to be honest, mate. What is he, 31, 32, whatever? But he, those marathons, those that fun run, raising funds on those runs he were doing, even on his holiday and stuff, it's just given like a renaissance, isn't it? He's like a new man. He's absolutely up and down that pitch like a trooper. I can't argue with Palmer, to be honest, mate, yeah.
LP2 for John. What about you, Simon?
I think it's got to be Liam Palmer, hasn't it? Liam Palmer. I've been impressed with Smith since he came in, but he's not done the full month yet, has he? So it's got to be Liam. It's got to be Liam.
All right, Blair, what about you?
I was going to say Michael Smith.
Ooh.
He's three leagues. Three league starts. Was it 2 goals, 2 assists?
Fair comment.
What about Stockdale? He had a couple of howlers on the first game of the season, didn't he?
No, I don't think he did. I think our defence had a load of howlers that the poor bugger couldn't save from.
Yeah, I think there was that, and I don't think we've forgiven him for it. But I think he's had a really steady season. But he's not exactly been under the cosh, has he, Stevie? Is it worth me coming to you?
It is. You know what? Yeah, I've gone different. A couple of things. Just on the Stockdale thing, I think the thing that will stick in people's memory is there were a couple of misplaced passes against Ipswich, weren't they? Mm-hmm. And they were, I've got no... We've talked about it previously. I've got no issue with us playing out from the back. If he can find that corridor for a pass that will go between 2 strikers or a striker and a winger and it gets to our player, I've got no issue with that. But if people are there, he was within 4 yards of a striker, people suddenly go, why are we playing out from the back and why are we doing this and why are we doing that? So I think that's probably going to hamper him a little bit. But I agree. I don't think he's done anything wrong. He's not to blame for the goals that we've conceded as far as I'm concerned. Just on Liam Palmer, I think we spoke earlier. I don't think he's found his level. I think having looked at the teams that have gone up, and I'm talking Rotherham, Sunderland and Wigan this year, if we had got up last season, I don't think we're a bottom-end championship side. I think the teams that get out of League One will equip themselves really, really well. And I think Liam Palmer would be front and centre of anything we did if we'd have got up. I think he'd have been in and around. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. But I've got a restraining order that says that I can't vote for him 2 months from... I have voted this month. I voted yesterday and I went for Barry Bannon.
You see, I was going to suggest Bannon or Windass as well, because I think they've just... I think they've got an element of, because Liam Palmer gets his pelters, and he's put in a decent season. And normally, I sit here on the show, and I have done for a number of years, saying he's a solid six every game, and now he's a solid seven and a half. Nabannon,
I'd say he's an 8 and 9.
Yeah. Now, Nabannon and Windass, because they're so good, I think that there's an element that if they put in a seven, we're going to go, oh, they're not very playing very well. Like, you know what I mean? But I think, but Bannon, and then specifically this game against Wickham, I thought he was absolutely outstanding, like beyond outstanding. Some of the little intricate passing that he was doing, he's not running back into the defence anymore and separating the defence. Moore seems to have coached that out of him, or there's an element of trust with Bannon as well, because when we took away players like Kieran Lee from the midfield with him, all of a sudden he tried to do a lot more himself.
Oh, and do everything, didn't they?
Where do you think Bannon's playing these days? Because
I think we've put him in. I think we've put him in a more advanced role. But since Windass has come
Windass
in and gone
like
in front of him,
number 10 now. It's like,
yeah,
he's not deep, but he's like a free roll now, isn't it?
He drops into space. What's good with him and Fires beforehand is they seem to find that space. Steve put on the WhatsApp group last week about the Burton game, which Lee said about that the better, was the man of the match was Bannon, who came on for the last 10 minutes. And he was just that complete. Our players were here, and he was like up here, absolute class. And since he had that little bit of a poor start, like I said, at the start of the season, which I think he was carrying over an injury from last season, hence why the lack of performance during the Sunderland games.
Come back from
last season. I think he picked up an injury at Wimbledon last season, personally. And
I don't.
He carried that through, and now he's coming to his best. And I love that free roll. He drops onto the left. Yeah. He drops into space. Carlos played him on the left first season. Carlos was manager, and sometimes dropping on that left, and he came in from the left to score his goal.
I don't think we've had a player in League One, have we, that clearly sticks out as being too good since probably like Mikel Antonio when he was firing at Wednesday in the last League One season. He just clearly looks a cut above what's in this league, doesn't he, Bannon? Even at 32, whatever he is, he's just comfortably the best player.
Is he only 32? God almighty.
I think so, yeah.
So he's got another 4 years in him, really, if you think about it.
I think the thing with it is, obviously, everything that's been spoken about, his seven is other players' nines and tens.
Yes.
And that's the reality. But what we talk about and what he gets critiqued on is what he does with the ball.
Yeah.
What's more, what people don't seem to pick up on is what he does without the ball, his work rate, his effort, his passion for the club. I can't remember the exact phase, but there was a turnover in play on Saturday. And I don't think it's been on any of the highlights or anything like that. But their goalkeepers ended up, we've had a corner that's broken down or a set piece that's broken down. And Bannon's run from the edge of our area to made a recovery run. He's run 60, 70 yards to go and help our back line out. He's chased the player down. He's done that 2-3 occasions. That's what Barry Bannon does. So, when people are there and criticising him, and I know that Simon said earlier on, and this is no disrespect, I'm not saying that there's a chasm in terms of ability. We can't compare, I'll say it now, we can't compare what Barry Bannon does to what George Byers does or to what any other midfielder does to what we've got, because he's just on another level.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to watch.
It's apples and oranges, isn't it?
I love watching him. It's so annoying when dickheads who don't even support Wednesday comment about him, who don't watch the games and don't even go to the games. And he's one of them players. I find it really difficult these days to watch a game of football on TV and realise who's had a good game and got a bad game compared to when you're actually in the stadium. And when you actually watch Bannon live, he's just another level every week. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, he really is.
I think we'll probably look back, won't we, when he's finished and appreciate him even more, won't we? Because it'll be hard to get a player that's been such a good servant and such good quality that sticks with the team through all the ups and downs like Bannon has as well.
So. I put a Instagram, Facebook, didn't I, last year? It got a huge amount of comments on it. Was John Sheridan or Barry Bannon? Remember that?
We know you were shit out in every
and like John Sheridan that time, that era, he was part of a fantastic team. And Bannon is one fantastic player.
I said Bannon. I had to mute my hand for Twitter for a bit.
Bannon isn't part of that successful team that Sheridan was with. I just don't, you were saying about us clearing off in the league this season. I've got a feeling that we are going to. I think we are. I'd
be interested to see what it'd be like
in
the
Steve
new year.
Agree, but you never
by January, February, I want to see where we are because we are renowned for shit in the bed October, November time. And then, you know,
fixtures this month look very nice.
Well, did you they? Know, we said that the fixtures in September look like shit, and we're coming out of them really well. And I think it's testament to the way we're setting up. I think it's testament. There's a definite attitude shift, and I think that there is a definite change. Go on, Steve.
Just on that, I did a little bit of homework.
Oh, here we go. Bath thoughts with Steve. It's Steve's deep bath. Stay with us.
First of the season. We look all right in our run, but unfortunately, I don't think there's that much that's going to set us apart in terms of what the other teams have got, because I think they've all got steady runs that are fairly equal. So we've got Port Vale, Plymouth, Cheltenham and Cambridge over the next four games. Plymouth have got Wickham Saturday. Then we're there. Then they've got Accrington and MK Dons. Ipswich have got Portsmouth, Cambridge, Morecambe and Lincoln. Portsmouth have got Ipswich, Fleetwood and Charlton. Barnsley, and I put Barnsley in there and Bolton in there. Fleetwood, Exeter, Doncaster, Bolton, Barnsley have got. And then Bolton have got Lincoln, Cheltenham, Forest Green and Barnsley. You know, it's all right looking at our fixtures, but the other teams that are in and around it in that top six are very similar to what we're looking at. I think it's not the big games. I'll say it now. Twitter will go into meltdown next Tuesday if we lose 3-0 at Plymouth. You know, but again. Exactly.
Such a crap fixture, isn't it?
Yeah, but
it was on a Saturday, weren't it, and all, and it got rearranged.
Did Plymouth beat Ipswich when I was away?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But yes. The little bit on that is where we will stand or fall in terms of whether or not we start to pull away won't be as daft as it sounds. I don't think it'll be against your Plymouths and your Ipswiches and your Portsmouth. I think it's going to be whether or not we can go to Port Vale on Saturday and get
a win. You're right.
It's dropping points against Lincoln, isn't it?
And which we didn't do last season, did we? In Wimbledon, you Cheltenham, Shrewsbury.
Oxford, yeah.
In Lincoln. In the grand scheme of things, the balance of play, when everything's par, we won't look at the results that the top six have done against each other. And that's a bit of a climb down based on everything that I said last year. Because last year, I thought we were outstanding. We were the team in the top six, weren't we? We were beating
the other top six teams. You know, and then getting nil-nils at Gillingham.
Whereas this year, I think if everything's equal, those teams take points off each other. If we can go and pump your Forest Greens and your Cheltenhams and your Morecambes, that's what will set us apart. So it's those games we really need to be focusing on. I think, and I don't think we're not going to talk about it, are we, before next week, but I don't think there's a great deal of pressure. We've got to make sure there isn't a great deal of pressure when we go down to Plymouth, because we'll get what we get. If we get 9 points off the other teams next month or in the next four games, I think we'll be all right.
It's about maintaining that 2 points a game, isn't it? That gets you the top two. That gets you up. I think we're currently on pace for that, aren't we? So
the draws killed us last season, didn't they? The ultimate look at it, it was that spite of draws, the Wimbledons, the Cheltenhams, the Gillinghams.
The thrown-away leads.
Yes, and the thrown-away leads. But it was the draws. You look at that top six. I think we got the most draws out of all six. Turn those into wins, we would have gone up. Simple.
That just upsets me. Go on then, Blair. So give me a prediction for Port Vale this weekend.
It's got to be 3-0 to the Wednesday.
3-0 to Blair. Oh, by the way, that was... I was going to go Barry Bannon myself, so that's two for LP2 and two for Bannon. So, you know, we're edging our bets with the two of the best players on Player of the Month. So that's a 3-0 Wendy for Blair. What about you, John?
I fancy a 2-0 Wednesday win.
2-0 from John. Stevie?
I think it's going to be scrappy, and I think he's going to make changes, and I think he's going to start Wilkes. I've just got it in my bones. I think he's going to start Wilkes, and that's going to...
What have you got against this bloke, mate?
We're going to put a dome over Stevie.
He hates Wilkes.
A dome over Waverley.
Listen, whatever the lineup is, will be the lineup. I've just got it in the bones that he's going to tinker a little bit this weekend, and I want him to be careful. I see no reason to change what we had last week, but I've just got it in my bones that it's going to be a little bit scrappy. 1-0, 2-1. I'll go 2-1.
2-1. I tell you what it reminds me of. You know when you're on, like I said, I've just got back from Vegas. So you know when you win one, right? And you go, oh, my luck's in. I can just start going on any machine because I'm now lucky right now. You know what I mean? And then $100 goes in there, $20 goes in there, $50 goes in there. And you go, I am fucking skint. Well, it's only been 20 minutes. What's happened? And that's where Moore is right now. He's like, I can't do any wrong right now. Fuck it. Let's chuck Wilkes in as well. We do what we want. Sheffield Wednesday, innit?
I'm going to listen. If we're playing 5-4-1-2, we can put whatever we want.
Fucking should do it all. I'm telling you. It needs to get written down. Simon.
2-0 Wednesday.
2-0 Wednesday. I might put a 2-0 in as well. So that's going to be. Wait, brace yourself for a 0-0 draw then this weekend, kids. that should be funny. Does anybody have any other business?
No,
I don't think so. I think it's just a football, isn't it? And let's stop bullying Stevie on Twitter because it's upsetting him now.
Southgate out.
Now
he's there and everything.
There's going to be a lot of people that listen. Thank you a lot for joining. Start again, Fudge. Thanks a lot for joining us this evening, and thanks a lot for bearing with me today. And I know there's going to be a lot of people out there going, Fudge, you're a lot better presenter when you can't speak and you're not as fucking loud. It's actually really pleasant to listen to in my car. But, you know, I'll be back all loud, all guns blazing next week. Thanks a lot to Simon, Stevie, John and Blair. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Lubosch! Automatic delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.